He stared at me for a second, then Carlos came near and ran his fingers over the walls.
He's right, he said. They drilled from the outside inward.
Centurion Graves got it then. He examined the walls with squinting eyes.
I think you're right, recruit. Very observant. The striations are curved in the opposite direction. This tunnel is probably the route the enemy used to enter the complex. They bored their way in right here.
We heard footsteps and rasping sounds. Everyone unslung their weapons and aimed them in every direction. It wasn't immediately obvious from which way the threat was coming. But one thing was for sure. They were coming. I wasn't sure if they'd finally grown tired of waiting for us to choose a path, or if they'd just all reached their set positions. But I was sure it was a planned ambush, because they came at us from five different directions at once. It was chaos from the beginning. 10 of us could not possibly cover all 5 avenues of attack evenly. Centurion Graves roared for us to move forward into the low tunnel. We did so and found ourselves in a gloomy hole which was crudely cut and had no lighting installed. I was more convinced than ever that this was the way the enemy had entered the complex. Everywhere else in the mine there were lights installed, and often rails in the floor, which served for powered carts to carry minerals to the surface. This tunnel had none of those amenities. It looked like an animal's burrow, but one made of dull gray metals. By pulling us deeper into the low tunnel, Graves made sure there were only 2 directions we had to aim our guns. I had to admit, as the Saurians began their attack, I was glad Graves was in charge. He never panicked or froze up. He smoothly ordered us to respond to the situation and made the right move the first time.
"Front rank, get low," he ordered. "I want 2 men on their bellies in the front, 2 men firing over their heads, and the rest of you in the center. Wait until they break either line to commit yourselves."
There were only 9 of us, and the tunnel was only about 3 meters wide. I found myself on my belly facing back the way we'd come. The Saurians rushed us, and we were immediately surprised by what they had. Snap rifles. Fortunately, they weren't very good with them. It was immediately obvious they barely knew how to use their weapons. They sprayed ahead, sweeping the tunnel with clattering rounds. We gritted our teeth and returned fire. Our aim was dramatically better, and the first line of Saurians went down in a thrashing heap. Fresh troops bounded right over them, snatched up the dropped guns, and kept coming.
"They're using our own weapons at us," shouted Carlos behind me over the din of fire.
Inside the tight confines of the metallic tunnel walls, the noise rebounded painfully from every direction. I saw that he was right. The snap rifles weren't just any weapons, they were our weapons. They even had the Legion Varus wolf's head stamped on the side. I realized they must have taken them from the other light troops. How long had this fight been going on? We certainly weren't their first victims. But were we the last survivors in this mine? Pushing aside such thoughts, I kept up a steady hail of fire. Natasha, who'd been standing behind me, fell. She was from the second rank, the standing rank. I guess I was lucky to be on my belly as I made a smaller target. I took a fraction of a second to glance back, and I knew instantly that I couldn't help her. She was dead, eyes staring, mouth open. There was blood on her cheek. I didn't bother to look back at her again. I could feel her weight draped over me as I fought on. It was horrible, but I didn't have time to care for her, or even to push her off my back. I just kept firing into that charging line of angry lizards. We sent a hail of steel in their direction, but it wasn't enough. They reached our line and overran us. The whole firefight so far had taken only 30 seconds, but lizards move fast. They were all over us.
"Gunners, hold your positions," Graves roared. "Keep firing. Center people, repel the enemy. Knives out."
I heard clicking sounds and blood splashed over my faceplate. I had to wipe it away so I could see. I wasn't sure whose blood it was, enemy or human. The Saurian blood was about the same color as ours, just a little darker and thicker. In the dimly lit tunnel, I couldn't tell the difference. Trusting my struggling comrades, who were literally battling over my head, I kept putting bullets into the Saurians that were charging in. So many. I didn't see how many we could... Something clamped down on my leg. The back of my right calf was in the jaws of a Saurian.
The teeth went right through the tough, smart fabric of my uniform. I hissed and howled, rolling over to face my attacker. I slashed up at it, opening up the leathery belly with my combat knife. The razor-sharp edge spilled lizard guts all over the floor. This made the Saurian release me, and it raised its head in pain, but wasn't finished yet. It made another attempt to bite me, the head darting down toward my other leg. I jerked away, and the jaws snapped shut on nothing. Carlos and I managed to nail it with a burst of shots each, and it fell as dead as a stone. The Saurian stopped coming after that. A few of them ran off into the dark. We chased them with bursts from our snap rifles. They slid in their own blood and screeched. The sound of their pain did my heart good. By this time, I'd had enough of lying on my stomach, so I got to my knees painfully and tried to stand. By the time I was on my feet, the next wave came. I dared to hope we'd seen the last of them, but there were more. The final wave was comprised of 6 juggers. They weren't the biggest I'd seen, but they were knocking their heads against the rough roof of the tunnel. All of them had red scales with bellies of silver-white, almost a pearly color. I might have thought the look of these beasts to be entrancing on a travel brochure, but not when they were hell-bent on eating me. Carlos and I glanced at one another. We were both covered in sweat and blood. Our sides were heaving from exhaustion and fear. This was too much. We couldn't bring them down with small arms. There was no way we were going to live. But I knelt and began to fire steadily into the lead monster. Carlos did the same. "Aim at the throat," I said, remembering the tactic from my past. I'd read about and simulated legion engagements on Cancri 9 since I was a kid. Juggers were hard to kill with tiny bullets, but if you could do enough damage to the vital arteries... We peppered the face and neck of the leader with red sprouting wounds, but it seemed to catch on and ducked its head low, putting the crown of its thick skulled head into our stream of fire. There was no way we could penetrate into its brain with these weapons.
"Good try, recruits," Centurion Graves boomed. "It was an honor to serve."
I marveled at the evenness of his voice. He sounded like he wasn't even sweating.
"You too, sir,"
Carlos shouted. I looked up, bewildered, and Graves' eyes met mine.
"You're in charge," he said.
Then the Centurion did something unexpected.
"Cease fire," he shouted. "Put your heads down."
Then he sprinted forward, rushing directly into the charging mass of juggers. The leader didn't see him until he darted by. Confused, it faltered in its lumbering charge and turned. I watched with my mouth sagging open. What the hell was he doing? Did he think he could make it past them all and leave us behind as a sacrificial dinner? Then I saw the glaring blue light, and I knew what was happening. He'd pulled out a plasma grenade, and he was standing in the middle of the juggers. Fortunately, juggers were not geniuses. They whirled on him and lunged with snapping jaws. When the explosion went off, I doubt Graves had a limb left on him. But he was past caring by that time. We followed his final orders and ducked low. The whole tunnel rippled with the force of the blast. Magnified by the closeness of the metal walls, the concussion reverberated painfully. That did it for the enemy. However many of them were left, they'd had enough. They pulled back and licked their wounds, leaving their dead behind them. We weren't in much better shape. I did a head count and came up with 7 survivors. We'd lost half our original number, and we weren't out of these tunnels yet. Chapter 14. The rest of the mission was a sweaty haze. I kept thinking of Natasha and how she died on my back. There'd been nothing I could do. It was galling. I tried to push those thoughts away. Lots of people had died. It was no big deal. If we could get out of here, we could all cry about it later. We huddled in the tunnel for the next hour, treating our wounded and talking about what we should do. We were down to 7 recruits, and all of us were as raw and inexperienced as they came.
"Graves put McGill in charge," Carlos said to the rest. "Yeah, I know it's crazy, but I heard it. Granted,
He was probably certifiable by that point. 1 second later, he ran into the middle of a pack of juggers and offered up his juicy parts.
It was a noble sacrifice, I said.
Carlos scoffed. Yeah, right. He knew he could be back in camp sipping coffee in a few hours while we're still stuck in this rat hole.
I didn't see you doing it.
Carlos snorted, but he did finally shut up.